Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, today, of course, is Trinity Sunday. And I'm always tempted on this day to put on my theologian's hat and try to explain the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. But, of course, the Trinity is beyond explanation. You know, and you need to know it's not meant to be explained. It's meant to be lived into. So today, instead of trying to explain the unexplainable, I want to listen to the doctrine of the Trinity and try to hear what it tells us about God. And it seems to me that it tells us at least three things. And the first is this: that God, by his very nature, is outgoing, that he reaches out to people. He is a father. And any father worth his name is involved with his family. He provides for them. He gives to them. He feels what they need. He shares their joys and sorrows, their triumphs and their failures. Now that is the Trinitarian concept of God. On the other hand, people who do not believe in the Trinity often think and speak of God in terms that are cold and remote. Aristotle, for example, called God the unmoved mover. In other words, God gets things done. He is a mover. He acts on everything and everybody, but he reacts to nothing. And he interacts with nobody. He causes things to happen, but those happenings have no effect upon him. He is transcendent. He is remote, he is powerful, and he is unapproachable. But the doctrine of the Holy Trinity totally rejects that idea of God. It speaks to us not of an unmoved mover, but of a father who is fully involved with the human family. His nature is to give, and he's always reaching out. And that, in essence, is what the Trinity says about God. He holds nothing back. This doctrine presents to us not a lonely, isolated aristocrat, but a loving, involved father whose very nature is to give. The second thing the Trinity says about God is he has become concrete in human history, in and through the life of Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, Jesus, of course, was a real person. He was a human being. On that point, the New Testament is unmistakably clear. Those who knew him best saw him first as a man. An incredible, remarkable man, but nevertheless a man. And then somewhere along the way, they began to see something else about him. Peter expressed it this way. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Then others began to see it and say the same thing. Thomas called him my Lord and my God. And John wrote of him in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only Son coming from a Father." Now that was the message which the early church went out to share with the entire world. They called it the gospel, which of course means good news. Jesus had given them a great ethic, the greatest ethic that the world has ever seen. But that was not the good news. Jesus taught them a great theology, but that was not the good news. The good news was that God has invaded human history in and through the life of a Galilean carpenter. And they had seen him with their eyes. They had heard him with their ears. They had touched him with their hands. Never again could they think of God as an abstraction, as a conclusion drawn at the end of a philosophical argument. God for them had become concrete and specific in the life of one man. The history of religion had been humanity's search for God. But now we know the real story is God's search for us. And the third thing is this, that God in the person of the Holy Spirit is always with us. He is the Father in heaven, who is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Son, who lived in Galilee almost 2,000 years ago. And both of those concepts, as true as they are, leave God a long way off and a long way back in history. The message is not complete until we speak of God as the Holy Spirit, who is both with us and within us. The third and climactic meaning of the Trinity is that God is forever our contemporary, our constant companion and helper, the guide and friend who is with us wherever life may lead us. So if you ask me to explain God, I will freely confess that I can't do that. And I make that confession without embarrassment or apology, because it would be preposterous to think that any mere mortal could define or explain God. But if you ask me where God is, I will answer in terms of the Trinity. I will say that God is in heaven, the Almighty Father, creator of heaven and earth. And then I will say that God is in history, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Then I will stretch out my arms and say that God is here in the world with us today. And he's here in this church today. Finally, I would put my hand over my heart and I would say, God is living inside of me. And he's living inside of you. That is what the Trinity tells us about God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.